enjoying life. All right. I turn to Proverbs in chapter 3. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3. I was thinking about that Pokemon Go thing. If we could call the company and tell them to move it inside the building and make it available, like, say, 11 o'clock. And then we could preach on it.
I think they'd really go chase Pokemon real fast.
All right. Proverbs in chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's bow and ask the Lord to bless our time. Lord Jesus, we're gathered together here in your name, for your honor, your glory, for your will, your purpose, Lord. We ask that you would help us in this next few minutes just to concentrate on you. Help us in our own minds to take our minds off of all our cares, our responsibilities, all the things that we have to think about, and help us to concentrate on your word and what it says. And Lord, please be with us. Lord, move in each and every heart and life here today. And I pray that you'd be honored and glorified by what we do here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to concentrate on the first two verses in that passage, but we're going to be referencing that passage, which is why I read the whole entire thing. And this was a passage that I memorized very, very early on in my Christian life. I've been kind of going back through and listening, or kind of going back through some of those very, very first verses that really had an impact on me. And I remember more than one person counseling me with this verse right here. And, of course, it's excellent counsel for a young man. And one of the reasons why I began thinking about this verse again is because I heard my wife earlier in the week on the phone using this verse in order to give counsel to somebody that was young. And I got to listening to it again. And, you know, sometimes with those verses, they just become so trite, so cliche, that you almost stop thinking about them. You know, you say, well, you know, of course God so loved the world, you know. But then you begin to meditate on it, and you begin to think about the implications of it. And, of course, then it's incredible what that verse has. And so I began thinking about this particular verse again today. And so I thought I would use it as our text here this morning for all of us to kind of consider. And what I want to consider, there's several different things that I do want to consider concerning this verse right here. And the first thing that I think would be good for us to consider, and this is a big one, is what is it that we're being asked to do? I mean, what are we asked to do there in verse 5? We're asked to do what? Trust the Lord. And you're thinking, well, yeah, of course, you know, of course we're going to trust the Lord, you know. Hey, you know, some of us have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and we've learned to trust the Lord. And so it's kind of like second nature to us. Trusting God was not second nature to me when I got saved. In fact, trusting anyone was not second nature to me when I got saved. I had learned through different events through my childhood, different things that took place, that, you know, if you trust anyone, you're a fool. Very, very cynical attitude. And the truth is that if you could walk around this world today, if you trust anyone, you're probably going to be taken at some point in time. There are some people that are just naturally trusting. And of course, they're just ripe for fraud and for rip-offs and for all kinds of other things. And if you go look at around the world, we've got every reason in the world not to put our trust in people or in organizations or in things. Because if you do, you're likely to get burned. How many people have given you a promise and then not carried through on that promise? How many times have you promised something to somebody else and then you haven't carried through on that promise? And that person trusted you to carry through on that promise and you didn't do it. one of the things we're taught as Christians is we're taught to keep our word whenever possible. We're taught to make our word good, what we say, we do, and there's a good reason behind it, because that's the character of God. That it's so incredibly refreshing to actually trust the Lord, because it's not like trusting a man. Not like trusting an organization. It's not like putting your trust in the federal government. Does everybody feel like they can just relax and not worry about things and just know that our Congress now is going to be in office doing the right thing? Do you trust them? No, we don't. Because we understand the system now. We know what it is, you know. We know that, you know, politicians get in office and then they get corrupt and or they get their hands tied. And Trump, you know, he had all these things that he wanted to do when he got into office. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. But then he finds out, you know, that it's not as easy, man. There are a lot of different people playing for their own attention, for their own agendas. And trust, you got to admit, trust is a tough thing. It's hard to put your trust in someone. It's hard to put your trust in something. Nobody wants to get burned. Nobody wants to get ripped off. Unfortunately, when we give the advice like Solomon is giving this advice right here, trust in the Lord. When we give that advice, you know what people are thinking of in their mind? They're thinking of all the reasons why I shouldn't trust the Lord. They're thinking about all those things, why I shouldn't trust the Lord. And you know what our job is? Our job is to represent God in such a way that we can convince somebody to trust the Lord. And I'm telling you here today that if you actually took this advice, if you leave the cynicism for everything else and you drop that cynicism when it comes to God, you are going to be so incredibly blessed and you're going to get to the end of your life and you are going to be so glad you decided to trust the Lord. You know what trust is? Trust. Trust is in fact, look what it says a little bit farther on, because not only do I want you to consider what the Lord is asking us to do, he's asking us to trust him. But look what he says. This is tough. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Man, those are tough verses. You ever read that verse where it says, you know, just do these two things and you'll be okay. You know, like the Lord's going to simplify it. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy breath. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's just a very, very simple thing. But we know in our own minds how difficult that is. To love him with all the heart. I don't think a person could stand here today and say, man, I have not loved him with all of my heart, you know. You always keep a little bit back. But that's what he's asking us to do. Consider what he's asking us to do. He's asking you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, that's what you have to do when you get saved. When you get saved, you have to put your trust in the Lord. I understand this back and forth. You know, sometimes, you know, once you get a clear picture of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, all of the benefits that come with knowing Jesus Christ, to you, it's a given. Oh, yeah, man, of course, I'm going to trust him. But how about somebody who doesn't know God? Somebody who's not familiar with his character. And then you ask him to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I'll tell you something. That's why we ought to be preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and not ourselves. A lot of people do disservice by preaching their own sense of morality or their own attainments. You know, maybe the certain spiritual disciplines that they have attained, and then they preach those things and, hey, you ought to be like me because I do this and I do this and I do this. Man, we don't want the confidence in us. We want it in the Lord. And that's why it's so important to consider this, what the Lord is asking us to do. He's asking us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with no reservations at all. But it doesn't stop there. There's another consideration. Not only is he, do you need to consider what he's asking you to do, he's asking you to trust. Not only do you got to consider the extent of what he's asking you to do, he's asking you to trust him with all of your heart. But then it says, what does it say later in that verse? But don't lean unto thine own understanding. Now, you don't think that that's not tough to do? Not to lean to your own understanding? Not to think that, hey, you know, I know that the Bible says this, but, you know, I don't think that that's the way that we ought to go, you know. You never had a conflict between what God says in His Word. And listen, I'll tell you something very clearly. This book right here is where we find out about the will of God, about the standards of God. That's why it's so important. You think, man, it's a broken record. We're always telling you, read the Word, listen to the Word, get into the Word, study the Word, meditate on the Word. Because, man, that's how God speaks to us. It's all here. It's written down. It's not in dreams. It's not in visions. It's not in circumstances. You know, one lady, I read a story about, you know, she's going to the grave of her son that had passed away. And she's asking this son, you know, of course, you can't communicate with the dead, to give a sign. And then, you know, like a bird appeared. And that was a sign, you know. Okay, I know he's okay because this, you know, I'm telling you, no, I'm serious. People do that all the time. The Lord led me over here. Well, how do you know that? Well, because, you know, I was coming up over the hill and then I saw the rainbow and I knew that that was God telling me. Well, man, all of that kind of stuff is subjective. But each one of us reads this same word. There's no subjection. It's all uniform. It's all the same. God's telling everybody exactly the same thing. He's telling you to trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. We are preaching this message to a very cynical world. And they've got every reason in the world not to trust in the Lord. I'll give you a couple of examples. Anybody remember a small group of people that were waiting for the Hale-Bopp comet? Remember that story? Yeah, they were waiting. What was their message? Their message was that behind the comet, there was a mothership. And that mothership was going to take them away. And so what they had to do is they had to take this, I don't even remember what they took, whether it was overdose of pills or what it was, but they took something so that at the point in time when that comet was passing over, that they would take this particular drug and then that you know, that they would pass away, but then their souls would go to be with whoever it was in this mothership, and then they'd be carried away. And I don't think anybody in this room actually gave credence to that. If you did, please don't admit it. Just keep it to yourself. But you're looking at that and you're going, a bunch of idiots. How about 900 some odd people? It was over 900 people. I remember it was, 1979 when Jim Jones took all those people to Guyana. And that's where we get the term now, don't drink the Kool-Aid. That came from that. He deceived a bunch of people. I mean, we can look at other examples, extreme examples. How about preachers that have gotten on TV and then have gotten caught up in heinous sins, and then people, they decide they're going to bail out on God because of him. They're going to, you know, it's not worth it to trust the Lord, because look at these lunatics over here. Look at these people over here. You know, cults do give us a bad name. We do have to bear the brunt of all the idiocy of cults. There's a guy over in Korea. His name was, I don't even know if the guy's, I think the guy's passed away now. And his last name was Moon, and he created this big old thing. I'll tell you something. It would be wise for you to consider and to look at what the characteristics of a cult is so that you know what to stay away from. I'll tell you something about cults is they're going to be extra biblical. It's just a given. What they teach is going to be outside of what the Scripture teaches. It's just going to be given. They are going to have probably special revelation that nobody else knows anything about that you've got to go to them to get. Remember David Koresh back up there in Waco? Seems like all, sorry Randy, but it seems like all the lunatics come out of Waco, you know? I'm glad you moved, brother. You're safe now. But yeah, he had special revelation from God. Now, I tell you something. After Jim Jones, I wasn't saved, so I didn't have anything to do with that. But I remember after the whole fiasco with Jimmy and Tammy Baker and Swaggart and that whole mess with all of these very, very rich, influential TV evangelists and their arrests and that kind of stuff. I tell you what, I had to answer for a long time. I had to answer and even when David Koresh did what he did, I was in college at the time and they were constantly asking me in school, man, are you a Branch Davidian? Too? You know? No, man, I'm not a Branch Davidian. The neighbors, we moved into our new neighborhood at the very same time as David Koresh and his guys were having the standoff with the police. Everybody in our neighborhood thought we were escaped Branch Davidians. Because we had a scripture sign that I planted right outside of my property. And then the neighbors, they saw me on several occasions, and it didn't seem, I was in the country, man. They hardly ever saw me without a rifle in my hand. And they were just like, these guys are Branch Davidians. And you know how I found out? A couple that was in our church went to visit friends that were in that neighborhood over there where we live, and they said, yeah, there's these new guys, you know, they moved in up here. There's like four or five of them all moved in a row, you know, or me and Randy and Trini and Rudy and we were all, and Joe, and we were all going here at that particular time. Yeah, man, and they're all together and they got guns and they put Bible verses out on the front. and then the brother said, you know, I think that's my pastor. And then they told him, we never knew you were a Branch Davidian, you know. But then you got to bear that, don't you? First thing you got to do is you got to tell them, hey, look, man, we're not involved in a cult, you know. We're not interested in exploiting your money or your wives or your children or anything like that. No, we're not anything like that. But why do I even have to explain that? But I do. And I have to explain when I'm door knocking back in the days when the Swaggart and the Jimmy Baker thing. Hey, what do you think about that Swaggart? You with him? And I'd have to sit there. No, you know, sir, I don't have anything to do. Luckily, you know, thank God I didn't have anything to do with him. But then you have to explain it and you have to bear the brunt. And so what's happening is here you are. You want to communicate your faith in Jesus Christ. You want to convince somebody, look, it's a good thing for you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, with your soul, with your life, with your family, with everything you've got. It's a good thing to trust the Lord. But you got to get over all that cynicism. You've got to get over all of that. So it's a tall order for us. And yeah, it's a tall order for those who don't know the Lord. They don't know His character. But there's some of you that, you know, it's a tall order for you too. Sometimes it's tough. Anybody want to admit that sometimes it's tough to take God's word over your own understanding? Here's what God's asking us to do. He's not only asking us to trust Him. He's not only asking us to trust Him with all of our heart. He's asking us not to lean on our own understanding. That's tough. Because we're not dumb. You know, maybe some of us are, but I mean, just, you know, we're pretty smart. And I'm not, you know, including myself necessarily in that. I'm just saying that collectively, as a species, you know, as a humankind, we're pretty smart. Hey, man, we've figured out some amazing things, haven't we? how in the world they can go into a little fetus while it's still in the womb and go down. Man, I have enough hard enough time reading the print on my page, but they can go down and get down into the DNA of that child and kind of rearrange that DNA a little bit so that the child comes out normal. How in the world is that possible? How in the world can they take a little capsule that is sealed, that has chemotherapy material in it, inject it into a cell, and then inject the cell into the body, and that cell knows what cancer cell to go attack. They eat the cancer cell and then explode this little packet of... I'm serious, man. I'm probably not explaining it very well, but it's true, man. It's happening. Somebody explained it to me, you know, and it's amazing. We know how to do stuff like this. So then we go with our superior intelligence, the things that we know. Man, I'm telling you, we know more about the world around us than we've ever known before. And then all of a sudden, God's going to say, you know something? I know you have an understanding, but I don't want you to lean on your own understanding. Do not rely on it. That's a tough order. But look what it... Look what it says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 and verse 12. First Corinthians in chapter 13 and verse 12 says, very interesting verse, says, "For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." That describes us. That's what we are. That's our condition. We see through a glass darkly now. We think we understand so much. And what God's trying to tell us is we understand so little. You think there's no way. We know too much. How many people have you come across that have used the argument of intelligence in order to deny this command right here, not to trust the Lord? I'm telling you, this is religion and trusting in God. That's for people that need a crutch. That's for people that just kind of need a help, little help along in life, you know, that kind of people that, you know, they haven't done very well in their life, you know, and so they need something to kind of lean on. And so that's the kind of people that it's for. But for us, we've got things figured out. No way. But he says, you know, we see through a glass darkly and not face to face. Look at Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 17. You see, this is how God is describing us. I love it when Job is there arguing before God and he makes a very simple statement. And I often ask people the same statement. He asks Job, he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world?" It's pretty funny. I took astronomy, 2 semesters of it. I thought it was going to be an easy credit. I needed a science credit in college, so I took astronomy. And this guy was an absolute big bang all the way down to the core, describing in minute detail what would happen, you know, back there in the day and how. And the only question that came up in my mind, lecture after lecture, is where were you when he laid the foundation of the world? Oh, I'm telling you, look what it says in Ephesians in chapter 4, in verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity..." And he's talking to you, he's talking to us right here, and this is what he's asking us to do. "Not to walk in the vanity of our mind..." It describes the Gentiles, and it says, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Do you think he is accurately described humankind? That's our condition. Our thoughts are darkened. He tells us, he explains to Isaiah, he says, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. The one thing we understand when we began investigating the character of God is we realize how much we are not like Him. Man, I'm telling you something. He is so far above us, so far different. And what I would recommend is if you're having any kind of a shake in your faith and your faith is a little bit weak, go back and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and look at His miracles and look at His words and study the things that He's done. He is incredibly amazing. If you investigate Him, you're going to be so amazed at every turn. And the truth is the more that you know about Jesus Christ, the more you're going to be equipped to be able to follow what that verse says and trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean to your own understanding. Early on as a Christian, I had two messages. I had the message that came from the natural human world, and I had the message that came from the Bible. And listen, I grew up with some morality, but I didn't grow up with the Bible. I grew up with a very warped sense of what religion really was, and I had really no clue about a good, solid moral foundation, you know, right and wrong, because I was taught so many relative things. And I started coming to this church and I started learning this word right here. And I'm telling you, I had a mind-blowing experience about every time I opened this word. It was amazing. I'll give you some examples. I started having kids, you know. That was one thing that I was never going to do. You know, I was never going to bring a kid into this wicked, evil world. You know, I was going to be a bachelor to the rapture and all of that. But then I met Judy, and that kind of blew all that. And we got married, and I started having kids. And so, you know, I was raised under a very abusive situation where I was beat up a lot and abused a lot. Won't go into any details about that. But I determined that as a result of all of that and my experiences, that I would never touch a child. That I was never going to raise a hand in anger to a child. That I was never going to strike a child. And I was very serious. I thought that spanking was child abuse. And you read a lot of wise people that, you know, they give statistics that if you spank your child, you are going to teach them violence. And you are going to show them that violence is the answer to everything. You know the routine. You probably read some of the same things. And you've read the things about child raising, about, you know, reasoning with a child and doing all of that. And so that was the wisdom that I had. That was my understanding. But then I came to this church and I started realizing, hey, wait a minute, man. This is not what this word right here is saying. That man right there, he blew my mind one day. And I don't know if you realize you did it. I think I always told the story when you were somewhere else. But this guy, he's down there, and he had this little girl, and her name was Sharon. She's an adult woman now, but she was a little girl, and she was mouthing off or fussing or doing something, and she would not obey him. So Steve took this little thing out, and he went, and he whacked her, and right away I'm thinking, okay, man, this is it, man. I'm out of here. This is, you know, I'm not getting involved in this cult, these guys beating their children, you know. So he went like that, and she screamed, wah! But that wasn't the part that blew my mind, you know. Then he turned that little girl around, and he held out his hands, and he said, I love you, Sharon. I love you, Daddy. What just happened? I don't understand what in the world just happened. I started reading verses, you know. If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. I started reading about a rod for a fool's back. And I says, man, that's what it says. That's what it says. Now, I also learned that there was some spanking that is absolutely child abuse. You know, there are some Christian parents out there that are abusing their children by beating the snot out of their children. That's not what the Bible is talking about. The Bible's talking about a rod on the seat of understanding in order to get wisdom. You know, there's a right way to do things. And I learned you don't hit a child in anger. You know, if I was angry, and that scared my kids more than anything else, son, go to your room, because I am so angry that if I spank you right now, I am going to take your life. And then I make them wait in the room for 20 minutes till I calm down. I can imagine what that waiting was like, you know. Okay, I give that experience as an illustration as to, okay, this is what God is asking me to do. He is asking me to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding in the area of raising my children. So now I have a choice. I can follow God's way or I can follow the wisdom of the world. I have that choice, and that's the choice that he's asking you to make. And listen, it doesn't always make sense right at the start. It took me a little while to figure out, hey, look, and I'm telling you something, if you do it properly, you can probably stop spanking by about 2-3 years of age. And you don't need to do it no more. It's a sad thing, you know, that we got our German shepherds on voice command, but we don't have our kids on voice command, you know. We train our dogs. Why can't we train our kids, you know? Anyway, I'll get off on child raising and not get back to my message. Because there's all kinds of other things, too, you know. There's, I mean, we could probably take all kinds of examples. But that's the choice that we come in with. So, you know what God's asking us to do? He says, listen, I don't care if it doesn't make any sense to you. I don't care if it's foreign to you, if it's really different, if it's not what you're used to. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. That's what he's asking us to do. It's a tall order. But I'm telling you something. There are some ways that we can accomplish this. Look back there at Proverbs. I'll get there. Just hold on if you're already there. Don't bail out. Trust in the Lord, there in verse 5, with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. And look what it says in verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, that's the other thing that we need to consider from this passage this morning. We've considered what God's asking us to do, considering the extent as to what God's asking us to do. We're considering the consequences, which is don't lean on your own understanding. Deny your own understanding in order to accept the Lord. Yeah, if it's a cult, nah, you know, I'm not giving up my understanding for nobody. You know, I'm not giving up my wife to a David Koresh. I'm not giving up my control to another person. But listen, we're not talking about a David Koresh. We're not talking about Sung Min Moon. We're not talking about Muhammad. We're not talking about some charismatic. We are talking about the Lord of the universe, the one who designed us, the one who made us, the one who knows why we do the things that we do. We have such an intricate, man, I am reading a book right now called, I don't remember what the book is called. In His Likeness or something like that. And it's written by a doctor. If it's your book and you left it on the shelf, let me know. When I'm done reading it, I'll return it to you. I picked it up off the shelf in there. And he's describing in detail the design of our body and how that glorifies him. And how it's just an amazing thing. He is the architect of our soul. How can we not trust him? I got a choice when my car is broke down. Man, I can talk to a Dodge expert, someone, maybe an engineer who actually made that Dodge and get some advice on how to fix it. Or I can ask the next door neighbor, not Randy, the other one, and get advice. You know, hey, who better than the one who actually designed the product? God designed you. God made you. Man, he designed your soul. He designed everything about you, man. Go to him and trust in him for everything. Don't hold back. You don't have any reason to hold back. But he says this is how you get it done. He's telling you what to do in verse 5, and he's telling you in verse 6 how to get it done. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Hey, listen, there are a lot of people that are not used to including God in their life. God is something that's reserved for Sunday morning. You know, I'm going to think about God this Sunday morning, and then that's the only time I really want to think about Him. That's how I was trained as a Catholic, you know. I wasn't trained to think about God every minute of the day and include Him in doing this and that. No, man, it was Sunday morning. You went through the form. You went through the ritual. After that, man, you were free the rest of this week. But this is what He's asking you to do, because God really wants to get in on your life. God wants to get into the details of your life. He wants to be there when you're making decisions. He wants to be consulted when you're at a roadblock and you don't know where to go. He wants you to ask Him. He wants you to seek after Him for wisdom. He wants you to seek after Him for protection. He wants you to seek after Him for the things in your life. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Wow, consider what He's asking you to do. Consider this is how He wants you to do it. This is a whole lot more than simply putting God a little bit into your life. I'm telling you, when you learn to trust the Lord with all your heart, man, I'm telling you, it's a life-changing thing. Every little thing. You say, oh, you mean I got to consult the Lord about every little thing and ask Him His advice? No, I'll tell you what you do. You begin to get very, very familiar with His Word. Because you know what it is? It's a guide. There's a whole lot in life that you're going to run into that you're not going to find in the Bible. You're not going to find how to get off heroin in the Bible. You're not going to find how to stop smoking in the Bible. You're not going to have to find a lot of dilemmas in the Bible. But you know what you're going to find? You are going to find principles. You're going to find God's mind. And if you get familiar with God's mind and the way that He acts, you are going to be able to acknowledge Him in all kinds of situations. I have talked to Christians that have come back and they have said, you know, I blew it. I made a huge mistake. I didn't include God in this decision right here. Listen, I don't want that to be you. This is how He tells you to get it done. He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You know, you get in a tough spot. You ever thought maybe about praying? We come to church on Wednesday nights, and you know what we want to do? We want to gather together, and we want to pray. You know why? Because we're dependent upon God. Do you realize how dependent upon you are upon God? Man, you can't take a breath without Him. You are so completely dependent upon Him. You're dependent upon Him for your life. You're dependent upon Him for your intelligence. You're dependent upon Him for everything. This is such a simple verse. But if that verse ever got inside of you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What's the benefit? How does that verse end up? I read that and I'm like, yeah, that's the whole point of the matter. He shall direct thy paths. He's going to direct your paths. Man, how many times have you not known where to go or what to do? He's going to direct your path. You know what that is? That right there is a promise. Now listen, God's got other promises, and those other promises are pretty earth-shaking. He says that if we come to Him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, He will in no wise cast us out. That's a promise that He gives. He gives us a promise as we're going through this life and we're wondering what it all means and what it's all about. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you. And where I am, there you will be also. That's His promise. We trust in those promises. We trust in those promises. We know, you know, you've known enough of the Bible that you know that when you die, being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're not ambiguous about that. How about things in life? If you give yourself to God, don't you think that He's going to direct you in good paths? Man, no, I can't do that. I just don't know what He's going to do to me. I don't know what He's going to... Listen, whatever He does, it'd be okay if you had the attitude that the Lord is out for your good. And believe me, He is out for your good. He says when He calls Him to go and preach the gospel to every creature, He says, lo, and I will be with you even to the end of the world. What does he say over there in Hebrews? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm telling you, we're not dealing with a human being. Your cynicism ought to stop at the base of the throne. No cynicism with God. No distrust with God. No reserving stuff back from God. Listen, he's worthy for you to give everything to him. I'm telling you, that's the message I got this week as I was looking back. Look at 2 Timothy in chapter 1 in verse 12. There was a preacher in the New Testament that he had all kinds of reasons why he shouldn't put his trust in God. But in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 12, listen to what he says. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He's talking about the gospel and the reasons why he's suffering. This is the Apostle Paul that's saying this. And so he opens up the verse by talking about his sufferings, by what he's going through. He says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. That carries the connotation that not only am I not ashamed in the sense that I'm not embarrassed by this, I'm not embarrassed by the Lord, but also that he's not going to be left in the lurch. He's not going to be found a liar. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm telling you something. This is a statement here of a man who learned to trust the Lord. This guy learned. This Paul, he had some experiences with God, and he learned to make a statement like that. I know whom I believed. There's one of your keys. Get to know the Lord Jesus. Simple advice. Get to know him. You feel like you're a little far off. Get to know him. Get to know him better. Study him out. Look at his words. Meditate on the things that he said. I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that's what Paul did. Paul gave everything to him. Listen, there is no reason for those who know the Lord not to surrender and give everything over to the Lord. No, I don't know if I can do that. Because this happened and then this happened. Listen, drop your cynicism at the base of the cross. Drop your cynicism. Take it to God. Put your trust in him. There's a verse in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Meditate on that verse this week. Let's bow for a word of prayer.